for their property owners.
So why, I guess I'm curious why you're saying it's on the fly.
So I stand corrected. I had not noticed it before. There's a large volume of stuff, and so I hadn't looked at the exact language, which I think is too liberal.
But this is, so that I understand, this is part of a package that came forward to us as a result of a work group?
Yes, over time as a result of the working, the stakeholder group that Mayor Adams chaired, and then further discussions that staff has had with the Working Waterfront Coalition.
I guess I'm curious to repeat Commissioner Fish's question. Mayor Adams, where do you stand on?
This is one of the areas that the whole in lieu of will require additional work, and that's called for in the substitute resolution. The choice before the City Council with this amendment is sort of what do you want to emphasize? Do you want to emphasize adhering to sort of the current practices, or do you want to emphasize more flexibility? Either way, we will not, I would not recommend we definitively lock down on anything on this until we get the science back and we get the analysis back regarding the potential in lieu of. So either way, we're going to be revisiting this when it comes back to us.
So we could just leave it in?
You could just leave it in, yes.
Or you could just take it out.
Or you could take it out. That's this whole democracy thing.
But so, substantively, again, and I under the new order here, I vote first, so I just want to make sure I cast an informed vote.
And I'm going to vote how you vote, so, yeah, so take your time.
Please, take your
time.
I think we're... So, Mayor, this has been in the package, and you're saying that this is an issue to be worked out over the next, the balance of the year, and your recommendation is that we keep this language as a placeholder?
This is a, I think that this is a placeholder, no matter what we do, and perhaps the maker of the motion would entertain, having made her point and raised her concern, she would entertain withdrawing her amendment.
No, I'd rather just get it voted down.
Okay.
But I because I want to put on the record that there is this concern, and I'm not sure. I can't support something that says you can choose to mitigate offsite. And I think this actually illustrates my increasing frustration and that we have compromised and compromised and compromised. There's pages and pages and pages of amendments in response to largely the Working Waterfronts Coalition's concerns. And now when I'm looking at the whole package, I think we're getting over the line of where we've lost the balance.
Mayor, may I just say that we were trying to remember exactly when this emerged, and I believe it emerged in discussions with the Working Waterfront Coalition. I don't believe that it did emerge during your stakeholder meetings.
I don't recall it. So let's vote on the amendment. And I would say that if council doesn't feel like they have enough information on this particular item, my advice to you is to vote it down and we can raise it again. If you're not sure, then I would ask you to, with all due respect, I would ask you to vote it down and we will raise it again and provide more information about the specific issue when we come back.
So this is an amendment to a package which we're not going to vote on today. So what actually gives us more flexibility, that approach or the reverse?
Honestly, I think either, because this is, all this work is provisional until we come back with the additional due diligence that we just have to do to clarify some of these points. This, and Commissioner Fritz is absolutely right to sort of point it out, it is an important point of consideration either way. I think that it will be informed by the evaluation yet to come. So I would view it as a point that we are going to focus on in the future, regardless of how we vote today. I don't feel we can make a truly fully informed decision either way we go until we get some of this analytical work done.
I guess my concern then is to, I mean, it's a working document, and to affirmatively do anything at this point sends a message that I'm not prepared to send.
So let's just go ahead and vote on it.
Well, if I may make one
final plea.
Go ahead. I'll make it in the next motion.
Okay. Carla, would you please call the vote on the amendment to the amendment?
Fish.
No.
Saltzman?
No.
Leonard?
No.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Fails.
So I move on page... placement on page
51.
I think that's what happened. Just one more time. And to my colleagues, thank you for your patience. On page 51, where the standards for stormwater outfalls, we heard that just today or very recently.
Which page 51?
The replacement page 51, which is the top of the page 64. There are standards for outfalls, and basically what these standards mean is that you get to do it without any kind of review. And so the group looked at, for stormwater outfalls, what would be reasonable, what's a minimal amount. This is similar to what we have in the environmental zones. But what was in before was the limit of one outfall per property. So that keeps the impact minimal. Without one outfall per property, you could have 10, and that could be a significant impact. And I don't think that's right. So I move to put back in the limit of one outfall per as part of the standard. The previous letter C limiting it to one outfall.
Under the previous Greenway plan?
Under the previous proposal.
Sorry, under staff. The previous proposal from staff. Comment on this?
This was also a request from the Working Waterfront Coalition to have this change.
All right. Any more discussion on council?
Could you second it?
Oh, second? Yeah.
And so the reason that I moved the second one, even though the mayor is asking me to move on, which I do want to do, is that I want to put the marker down that there are things to be discussed. So if you were unsure about the other one and voted no on it, I would encourage you, if you are unsure about this one, vote yes on it. And we're sure that there are two things that we're going to continue to need to debate.
But before we vote on this, since technically, I understood this as the mayor and the planning bureau coming forth with amendments, and I understood this was a package we were going to adopt for purpose of discussion. Now I'm finding some fault lines here that suggest maybe I don't fully understand how we're proceeding. And I understand that there's strategic considerations about what's in and timing and other things, but I just want to make sure we get it right. So, and the two of you have spent more time working on the package that's coming before us. So, I think this on many of these things, the sense would be, at least on the amendment side, as a matter of courtesy, to bring the amendments forward so they can be debated, and we can always change our mind on that. But I don't want to be put in the awkward position of voting first on something I don't fully understand to the like you do.
Right.
And then find out that it is contrary to what you think is good policy. There's
my last vote.
Yeah, specifically.
Commissioner Fritz, attention to detail and deep knowledge of these issues is to be respected. I also know the issue, the last issue. I know this issue less well. The last amendment she made, I knew better. We have work to do. I would appreciate if we don't have these amendments, but it is Commissioner Fritz's right to make them, because I understand that it's sort of unsettling. I understand that your purpose is to air the issues out. And one of the reasons that I want council to vote on this just as a provisional document in a week or so is that everyone knows which set of pieces of paper we're working off in terms of further perfection. So Commissioner Fritz wants to air these issues out, and that's, we're doing this by this amendment process. I wish I could give you a...
But I think that all that you're hearing two or maybe even three of us say is we don't have our arms completely around this issue and we'd like a little guidance. And I don't like the sense that we're going down a road that somebody is clearer about than I am, and you're Mayor Adams leading this process, and we need some some insight from you.
I will give it to you in a second. You wanted to say something?
I just want to ask the question, when did that piece about the one outfall disappear from the document?
That one came out this version. Let me check the page. What page is it again? 51.
It's 51.
Because while Shannon's looking that up, if I might explain to my colleagues, when something is not shown in strike through, it's really difficult to figure out in a document in as complex as big as the river plan what's in and what's out, looking for shading. So I didn't see any shading in this, and this was just recently brought to my attention, in fact. So when
did... It's in the March 24th version. It was not taken out in the February 17th. So this amendment has occurred between February 17th and March 24th.
And I think it's relatively recently, right?
Yes.
And it's as a result of your discussions with the Working Waterfront Coalition?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And it was something that was just brought to my attention. So that's why... To me, Commissioner Lennon, it is a change from what I had thought we were at even a week ago.
So, as staff, did you then agree to this proposal?
Yes.
And if so, why?
The number of outfalls that have come through Greenway Review in the last few years is very minimal, so we didn't feel that there would be an influx of outfall requests to put outfalls in.
Okay. In part because... isn't it true that outfalls trigger other potential state and federal regulations?
Yes, potentially. And there is mitigation, due
so
for
it's not,
whatever number of outfalls there is.
Which is one of the reasons why few of them have been, some of the reasons why few of them have actually, new ones have actually been constructed.
But if, I guess the bigger question is, if we just leave the document as it is, it doesn't prevent anything from changing with this new process we're undertaking.
Absolutely correct. All right, so we have I'm trying to work with my co-sponsor here, but my preference would be, you've stated your intent, you want us to vote? Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Carl, please call the vote.
Fish.
So for people watching a struggle with this, I would say that we deal with a lot of very complex issues here, and there is a tradition of at least initially following the lead of the sponsor and the lead staff person to guide the discussion, and then council's free to make its own judgment. On something like this, where the amendments have come to us fairly late in the game, it complicates the situation. And my particular interest here, since we're not taking up the merits, is to do no harm. I want to make sure we have a clean document to debate, but we will not be voting and debating on this for another time. I will say that as a fairly new member of this body, this, for me, raises another question, which is the timing under which we get amendments. And that's not a criticism to anyone here. This is a lengthy process, but maybe I'm old school, but I would prefer in all of our debates to have a little more lead time to receive amendments because then, again, foolish me, it gives us a little more time to study them and then to have this dialogue outside of this forum, which is not always the best suited for this. But that's not a criticism, that's just an observation about how we do process in this building. But because I don't think we're precluded from revisiting this question, I'm going to vote no, respectfully, and then we can have this discussion at a later date. No.
Saltzman?
No.
Leonard?
No.
Fritz?
Aye.
Adams?
No. I want to underscore the first that be it, or the second, be it further resolved, the second sentence in the substitute resolution, which we're going to move next, the words, as a starting place, that what we eventually take a vote on is a starting place for the further refinements that I've spoken to repeatedly this afternoon. So I move, you should have a resolution that's titled substitute resolution number. The changes on it are the overview of the work to be done in the last new, therefore be it resolved, the creation of the science panel that we heard about in the PowerPoint, and the immediate creation of the NORAC, the North Reach Advisory Committee, as we'll start taking applications for that within the next couple weeks, and then make decisions on who will be on it, and put folks into place as soon as we can go through that process.
Second.
Moved and seconded on the substitute resolution. I've just reviewed with you the detail of the changes. Carly, would you please call the vote?
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Substitute is approved. Let's move to the sign-up sheet.
First three, please come on up, are Pam Rolfe, Doris Weller, and I believe it's Donna Matazzo.
And let's do a minute each.
Okay. They'll be followed by Jeannie Gillick, Francine Royce, and Susie Leisher.
Hi, welcome to City Council.
I'm sorry.
Glad you're here. You just need to give us your first and last name, no address. And if you're representing a group, if you're a lobbyist, you need to declare that. And that clock will help you count down your time. Please begin.
Hi, my name is Dan Rolfe. I guess all it takes is an op-ed and then an Oregonian to get to be first on the list to testify, so I appreciate that.
Actually, you signed up first.
I know. I had that opportunity. I am not representing anyone but myself. I was actually quite amazed at what just transpired, if I understand what happened, and I think, unfortunately, that's sort of emblematic of a lot of unfortunate occurrences that have happened in this whole process. Between when I was here attempting to testify, not being able to because it took so long, last month and now, there have been a series of apparently private conversations between the Working Waterfront and city staff that have resulted in a series of amendments that weakened the plan that has been on the table, as Mr. Salinger said, for years. Those amendments are just swept into this document with a promise, perhaps a further process down the line. I think that's entirely inappropriate, and I also think that at some point, no matter how many opportunities people like me have to come and testify, the public and the public interest is processed to death by conversations between interested parties and the city, and it results in a process like we just see where amendments that were proposed perhaps as late as last week get voted into the document. And I just think that's inappropriate, and I encourage the council to immediately adopt the plan as it appeared before these last-minute amendments. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi.
Hi. my name is Doris Weller. Thank you, Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz, for your amendments and the addition of a panel and the inclusion of scientists to further oversee the river plan. But in the case of Linton, the amendments give maybes and no promises. Social justice is a subject I would like to address. The summary of the NRP states the importance of economic prosperity, watershed health, access, riverfront communities, and partners. If we use a scale of economic prosperity on one side and all the other topics on the other, this plan is weighed too heavily on the side of the economic prosperity. In particular, industry money and interest. A huge inequity exists, and shouldn't all the subtopics be considered equally? We have a major crisis impending, major crises impending. Peak oil, climate change, a major catastrophic earthquake, and our biggest challenge of the future, water. None of these are clearly addressed in NRP, and there's an essential part of our now to 30-year future for our economy, our river, and our survival. More specifically, the subject of social justice are the issues of public input. Linton, the environment, of Linton and the environmentalists.
I need you to wrap up.
Okay. The public engagement of the community has whittled down to near extinction. Since the 60s, numerous times Linton has asked and negotiated and been promised changes that would make neighborhood a livable and sustainable community. Linton is down to asking for very little of their original vision. Grant us access to the river and keep the entire mill site out of industrial sanctuary and open to possibilities that would allow other uses, and specifically not only HI.
Thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Donna Matrazzo with the Sylvie Island Conservancy, and I'm another one of the people who came to the hearing on February 17th and was here for over 3 hours and didn't get a chance to testify because I had to leave. And then I wrote to everyone the next day and got no response, which I found very unusual. And I just wanted to comment that, all told, it just left a feeling like citizens taking an evening, or like this afternoon, an afternoon off work, to come in front of you had less of a voice than perhaps industry. This process has been going on for a long time, and dragging it out makes it harder for everyday citizens to come and take time away from work to come and be part of the process. Sylvie Island has more than 300 species of wildlife and is a major stop on the Pacific Flyway, and the ecological health of the river affects not just the birds that live there, but also those that migrate far away. So the ecological effects of the North Reach has a long reach far beyond that river's watershed. So we urge you to adopt the plan. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for your efforts at testifying. We know it's been a challenge.
And just to tell everybody, I'm about 500 emails behind at this point. So there's a lot of folks here I know who have written to me, and I haven't had a chance to respond, but thank you for writing in.
Been a busy couple of months on a variety of issues, so we're way behind as well in my office. Carla?
Next three are Jeannie Gillick, Francine Royce, and we'll go with Dick Springer. And they'll be followed by John Mullen, Kurt Schneider, and Ed Jones.
Welcome back to City Council. Glad you're here.
We are back. My name is Jeannie Gillick. I'm taking out or time out of my workday to support this plan. After the last two hearings, this is a real act of faith. It's important to note that many supporters of the plan were shut out from being able to testify because of the inordinate time devoted to industry concerns. In fact, given the time and attention spent on the Working River Coalition comments, I really thought that they were a new city bureau. So, with only a minute to testify, I urge the city to do not delay, but to pass this plan. And I would urge you also to remove those last-minute amendments and really take seriously the concerns raised by the Environmental Council or panel.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Francie Royce, and I'm with an organization called NP Greenway, and we're the advocates, an organization dedicated to advocate for the North Portland Willamette Greenway. Our goal is to make sure that Mr. Salinger's child, that's the violin player, will be able to walk on that trail soon, and Alan Sprott will get the trail that he wants to the Vigor Industries. I urge you to adopt the plan is my main point. A secondary point is that on the discussion, on the recommendation for an advisory committee, the various types of people that are recommended in the amendments from March 24th do not include a specific trail group and trail supporters. We feel that the trail is a trail advocacy group spans the breadth of the kind of groups that are listed there, and we would like specifically a trail group to be included and to be invited on the advisory committee.
Thank you. Good afternoon and greetings, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Dick Springer. I'm the manager of the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District. I've previously submitted written comments to the Planning Commission and also submitted written comments back in December at the first public hearing. Soil and Water Conservation District on the west side runs from Lake Oswego to St. Helens. We work very closely with private property owners along that entire reach of the river. We're engaged currently in restoration project in upland and riparian areas in the Miller Creek and the Balch Creek watersheds, which are included within a study area. We are supervising and paying for crews now that are working with the property owners there to remove the invasive plant species as part of ongoing commitment to work with public, nonprofit, and private individuals to restore these critical sites identified in many public documents, including at a scoping session of the Portland Harbor Superfund Trustees Committee just within the past month. The district will continue to work with community groups. I'm old enough to remember Governors McCall and Straub working on cleaning up the river over 40 years ago. We've made a lot of progress. The public has spent billions of dollars of public funds to restore this river. Now is the time to finish that job. Thank you very much.
Next three are John Mullen, Kurt Schneider, and Ed Jones. And they'll be followed by Arianna Longenecker. Thank you.
Mayor Adams, members of the council, for the record, my name is John Mullen. I'm here on my own time as vice president of the Coalition for the Board of the Coalition for a Livable Future. In interest of time, I know the council is well aware of the work of the coalition, but I want to point out that the coalition includes members like Thousand Friends of Oregon and Audubon that were among the founders of the coalition, but we also have groups like Kaiser, REACH, and the Oregon Food Bank. So we have a very diverse coalition, and not only is our work known by our name, what our name is about, but we are also engaged in the work of equity through the Equity Atlas. And I bring this up because in the introduction to the Equity Atlas, Carl Abbott talks about there's something about this place as it begins, and it talks about the reason is the rivers. It's something about the place that we live in Greater Portland. You've heard from a number of people already about the interest to adopt the plan, and Coalition for Livable Future certainly supports that. We also would point out that our equity agenda means people having access and also having the quality of the river is very important to us. And so my time is up, but thank you for your consideration.
Good afternoon. Thank you for entertaining us again. First of all, thank you for the process. To me, it's been open. Yes, it's confusing in terms of what just transpired.
Could you give us your name?
Kurt Schneider, North Portland Greenway. I live in Cathedral Park, St. John's. So a hearty thank you. Please adopt it. That puts in place something that is concrete. And when we make amendments, we will have something that's concrete there that we know we're making amendments to. To me, that is far more transparent than the continual bringing in amendments at this time. And lastly, thank you for the changes in mitigation. Thank you. I am sure, Commissioner Fritz, you are largely responsible for some of those. Appreciate that. And we will be watching to see where in the city code you will be placing those, the certification process. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you for your comments, and I would have to say that it's certainly an open and transparent process. You've seen how the public process is being done right in
yes.
clear daylight here today. So that's probably the entertainment factor.
Thank you for your compliment.
I have to note that the mayor, but particularly also the staff, have done yeoman's work, and it's staff in planning and sustainability, also in environmental services and healthy working rivers.
Sally have been great.
It's been a community effort, and I think that the conversation on all sides has been very healthy.
We've been there every meeting.
Thank you.
Carla, could you call the next three, please?
I have a separate sign-up sheets for the Siltronic and the UFP. Did you want to take those now?
Well, we haven't actually.
I read them into the record. I don't know.
You read them into the record?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I did.
So, huh?
Right.
All right, so. Let's do that. Let's take testimony on the other two matters.
Okay. Well, do we have a staff presentation on the other two matters?
We do have a staff presentation on the others.
Okay, so
she's getting Sally.
Good.
I didn't know. She's not going to testify. They canceled her. Thank you.
Where are we at?
I'm going to hear the staff presentation on Siltronic.
Okay.
Which
just by way of a filler, this council is working really, really hard on a number of different, well, on multiple different issues. This week we heard budget presentations, so that's obviously on our minds. Last night we passed the changes to the independent police review. Those are just a couple of the major issues that are happening also right now.
All right.
Excuse me, is this the University of Portland?
Yes.
Are you ready for that now? Okay.
Are we doing Siltronic or UP first?
University of Portland.
Okay.
Thank you very much. This resolution directs the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to negotiate a development agreement with the University of Portland. A little bit of background on that. The natural resource inventory for the Willamette River ranks the University of Portland Bluff as a special habitat area. And as a result of that, the river plan applied the environmental protection and conservation overlay zones to the Bluff area. The University of Portland came and testified before you at the last hearing. They've indicated that they want to build a gateway structure to connect their upper campus with their new river campus, and they requested some flexibility. This is an illustration of their master plan. The structure we're talking about is one that I'm pointing at with my cursor. So the draft resolution before you calls for the preparation of a development agreement, and a key step in that process is the determination of appropriate mitigation. And that analysis is proposed to be conducted by the Bureaus of Planning and Sustainability, the Bureau of Development Services, Environmental Services, and the Office of Healthy Working Rivers. So if the City Council approves the resolution, the city will enter into negotiations with the University of Portland to prepare a development agreement. And if that development agreement can be reached, City Council will hold a hearing to consider that draft agreement. And then if Council approves the agreement, then the city and the university will sign it, and the city will not apply environmental overlay zoning to one part of the Bluff on the University of Portland property. And we've inserted a timeline or a deadline into the resolution of October 15th.
I have a couple of questions.
Yes.
Is this the same process that we have followed with Siltronic?
It's very similar to the process that we followed with Siltronic. Siltronic, there were a number of other issues with Siltronic, and Siltronic was interested in conveying an easement to the city. In this case, it's a little bit different.
But in terms of the framework, it's the same process.
That's right.
And it's subject to A, UP reaching an agreement that is then B, brought to the council and approved or not approved by the council?
That's correct.
And who would pay the fees of negotiating this agreement?
The university will pay the hourly rate for some of the city staff who would be working on this.
Thank you.
Other questions from council on the resolution as a on University of Portland?
So what would be the approval criteria? How would we know whether we've got to a good agreement? What are the parameters of the agreement that we're expecting this to?
We would identify mitigation that would be commensurate with the anticipated impacts of this development.
And what about the avoidance of impact that would be required if we left the environmental conservation zone on?
That would not be part of this discussion in a broad sense, although we would look to avoid the impact any trees within the area.
I believe that we should have something in there that part of the development agreement, I'll just state this for the legislative intent, but from my part at least, that we're not expecting the proposed development to be put on the other side of the campus, but to the extent possible in the area where UP would like it to be, I think that we still need consideration of avoiding, minimizing, and mitigating the impacts to the environmental zone or the not or to the resources.
I think that's it's useful to get on the record that kind of individual legislative intent, and this will have to come back to council for approval. So you'll judge for yourself in your own vote whether what staff negotiates and proposes meets that or not. Any other discussion from council on this draft resolution that we will be voting on in tandem with the rest of the package at a future date? Okay, let's move to the next one. Anyone wish to testify on this resolution?
We have, let's see, I believe Bob Solinger, Dick Springer, and Christy White.
This is for the UP resolution. Please come forward.
What about Barbara Quinn?
Barbara Quinn.
Bob, you addressed this in your letter, correct?
I did. Yep. Can I go first?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Bob Solinger, Conservation Director for Audubon Society of Portland. We would urge you to go with the original recommendation of the Planning Commission and staff, which was a P-zone on this property. It's an incredibly important wildlife corridor. It's also a steep slope. It's the kind of development that we should be 20 years beyond. And we appreciate the needs of University of Portland to have connectivity between their upper and lower campuses. We support that, but we want it done in the most ecologically responsible way possible. And that, to me, is not an elevator plus a parking garage plus classrooms. That is looking to see if there are other alternatives, and that's looking to minimize the impacts. This is the only corridor left in the North Reach. It's probably one of the only corridors left in the city that really functions, and it's not going to have a building in the middle of it. And I think it's going to stand as an example as people go up and down the river of the kind of development that we don't want to do. It's going to be a very high visibility example of that. So we'd encourage you to keep the P-zone, if not a P-zone, at least a C-zone, so you avoid, minimize, and mitigate. And we believe those kinds of zoning approaches are the appropriate way to deal with a site of this significance. So that's our position on this issue. Thank you.
Ms. White?
Christy White for the University of Portland. I'd first like to just set a little context. This site that we're talking about is not located on the river. The area of the EC and EP zone is about 800 to 1,000 feet from the river. The University of Portland completely supports everything within the river plan that's actually river protective, the new river environmental review. Have no issues with that. The University of Portland completely anticipates greenway remediation on its site and full support of that on all of those concepts in the river plan. Another thing that's important to note here is that the University of Portland's existing conditional use master plan has this property within its boundary and also has approval for university uses within this boundary. So the new EC overlay on this property, of course, postdates that CUMS. And what we're saying is the EC overlay under this development agreement stays on the property. When we bring the development agreement back to you, it will comply with all of the mitigation standards that would otherwise apply in an EC zone, and that the University of Portland will apply all those mitigation standards and mitigate for whatever disturbance occurs within that EC zone. The other thing to note there is we've been talking with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability on incentives, and maybe this goes to your point and Commissioner Fritz's point, on avoidance. So in other words, if there is a significant white oak within the disturbance footprint, should the mitigation standard for that white oak be more significant than it otherwise would have been under EC as an incentive to move the building away from that white oak? And that is certainly things that the University of Portland is very willing to consider as part of the development agreement. I would also say that some of the pictures that were shown to you by the staff demonstrate in that area that there it is rather devoid of vegetation, which doesn't mean it's not a wildlife corridor. It does have a lot of ground cover. But the University of Portland is also considering unique ways to maintain as much of the wildlife habitat as it can. In other words, eco-roofs that may be at grade because of the topography of the site could provide an opportunity to extend that wildlife corridor. And lastly, of course, we are asking for a very small piece of this EC corridor. There is a large width of EC corridor between the building face and the river that would be retained under any scenario. So we would urge you to move forward with the proposal to develop a development agreement to bring back to council to deal with this EC mitigation.
Bob, you're saying at least keep it in the C zone, conservation zone, right?
Yes, sir.
And that isn't that what the EC?
This proposal, the EC zone will stay on the property, but we will be allowed to develop in the EC zone subject to EC mitigation standards that will be proposed to you under the development agreement. The big difference is that in an EC zone, we would have to do an alternatives analysis, which I think Commissioner Fritz has referred to a few times here, where you would have to show other footprints where you might be able to build this building. And what we've proposed to you is that this building area has been on the University of Portland's conceptual master plan for some time. We don't want to go through an analysis that puts this building anywhere else because it's a gateway building intended for this gateway location to tie the two campuses together.
That's the fundamental distinction then between the two of you.
I think it's a. I think that's it.
You want that alternatives analysis.
Do.
Because it wouldn't say. I've done a number of environmental conservation reviews in neighborhoods, and it doesn't say you can't develop on that site, or that if you own another property on the other side that you have the city that you have to do it there. It does just say. Instead of using the economic incentive of the white oak, as you said, it would say put the building here rather than put it there as part of the environmental review.
And I've never done an environmental review in the city where the building didn't move. So I believe that the chances are that it will move, and the intent of the University of Portland, its historic intent here, both with the decision to acquire the Triangle property below and remediate it, a large part of that kind of threshold analysis was, can we tie our campuses together? Can we create a safe pedestrian circulation system where these campuses operate visually and physically as one? And this is that location.
And thank you for your testimony.
You're welcome.
Thank you both. All right, let's go to the next resolution.
Siltronic.
I'm Brian Campbell with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability.
The reason it's taken 9 years.
On February 17th, the Council heard a presentation on the proposed agreement between the City and Siltronic Corporation and a few comments as well after the presentation. So in response, there are several proposed amendments, which I'll try and go over pretty quickly because I think they're pretty straightforward. And they're in your packet in strikeout and shading. So, first of all, there were several minor wording changes to points 1, 2, and 10. Primarily, that's just clarification language. I'd be glad to talk about those if you have any questions about those. Point 4 in the agreement put a 15-year limit on development related activities on the part of the conservation easement adjacent to the development site. That was a rather hard number, and I think what we have agreed to do now instead is to propose that the details of how long development-related activities in this conservation area, easement area would be allowed, and what the restrictions are for those allowed uses, and that will be negotiated in the development agreement in the next couple of months. So that's the trade-off there. We've taken off the 15-year time frame and added some other, and we will be talking more about the specifics of each and every activity there. Point 6 is really the heart of the agreement. Both sides have agreed that the value of the conservation easement will be balanced against the value of the habitat lost on the development site. That's not at issue here. However, the size and shape of the easement area has changed since the original real estate appraisal and the habitat valuation were done, so the two valuations need to be reconsidered. And we're confident that we'll be able to do that, work through that issue in discussions over the next 2 months. So again, exact details to be worked out in the development agreement. Point 7 is offers a clarification on the what the city and PDC intend to do in terms of a contribution from the city. to build an eco roof with habitat value, should that prove to be feasible all the way around for both parties. So again, it's just clarification language that was discussed between Siltronic and the city. So and the next step in the process.
The reason why I'm supporting that specific provision is for this to serve as a prototype to show the replicability of industrial eco-roofs and habitats. Eco-roof and eco-roofs that service habitat as well. And it's in a tax increment district.
Right. So the next step in the process is create the development agreement consistent with the MOU. If that indeed can be done, then the City Council will hold a hearing to consider the draft agreement, and then that will move to signature before, hopefully, July 1st, 2010. And the new environmental overlay zoning on the Siltronic property would not be applied when it goes into effect January 1st. So that's the basic presentation there.
Question.
So how wide is the conservation easement at this point?
Well, it varies. It has a narrow dimension down to as little as 70 feet in one particular point, but the general dimensions around the critical bend in the Doan Creek corridor is 100 feet from the creek corridor. And it goes out to 135 or 140 feet as it moves towards the Willamette River. And on the Willamette River frontage, it's 200 feet wide. That's really the critical, one of the critical places that the city would be gaining through a conservation easement. On the river frontage itself, where a significant amount of revitalization work could and habitat improvements. Thank you. Could be done. So that's one of the critical spots, and it's pretty wide.
So at the narrowest point, it's 70 feet. So that would be 35 feet on each side of the stream.
No, it's just 70 feet on the Siltronic side. The other side of the stream is all on the railroad easement, railroad property. So it's open ground and provides a fairly good significant habitat area on that side as well.
And what guarantees do we have that the conservation area will not get smaller or be used for something else?
Well, that would be part of the language in the development agreement that it would specify exactly what could and couldn't happen there. We've pretty much done that in the MOU. If you look at the MOU language, it's fairly clear what can and can't happen. What we need to do in the development agreement, of course, it has to be turned into legal language and then put into a legally binding agreement form.
Good. That's helpful clarification. I'm interested in getting more safeguards for the conservation easement area construction and making sure that they're tied to adoption of the river plan. Otherwise, this doesn't. Thank you.
So, I'm looking at the new language on the eco roof, and I'm looking at how much money in Section 10 is expected to come from the Willamette Industrial Urban Renewal Area, $200,000 over a couple of years. So I guess what I want to sort of get clear to the bottom line is this memorandum or this agreement states that they will explore an eco roof with habitat value, with possible financial incentives from PDC to do that. So if it doesn't turn out feasible to do an eco roof with habitat values, are they going to do an eco roof, period? I guess that's what I'm looking for.
That's a good question. I think Siltronic would be the one to ask that question of.
Or we could put it into this agreement.
If they would agree to that language. So far, they have been reluctant to do that, I can tell you just from talking to their staff. So I think I'm assuming that Tom Fahey will probably come up and talk, and you can ask him that question yourself.
All right, let's go to testimony.
I have two people left signed up, Brian Lightcap and Bob Solinger.
And is Tom Fahey here? Why don't you come on up, too? Welcome to City Council.
Good
Why don't you begin, sir?
Mayor Sam Adams, commissioners. I'm Brian Lightcap. I'm a retired ecologist, and I think I've just, relatively speaking, kind of stumbled down out of the West Hills into this Walker Celtronics thing. So, but when I first looked at the easement and the $1 million and so on, that was part of this, it didn't look like we're really getting a whole lot. It seemed like a lot more can be done, and I think the council should be asking for a lot more. I guess the money doesn't buy a lot. It would be nicer to have a greater show of corporate leadership in this area. You know, like Intel, Nike Corporation. You know, there are some corporations that, you know, even like Gunderson, that do things just because it's the right thing to do. I don't know what the Walker Siltronics culture is like, but it would be nice to get a little bit more from them. I don't know exactly what their development plans are, whether they're tentative or what. But I think they would like to say, gee, this is our own property. Wow, this is really neat. Look what we could do with the stream. I mean, wow. I mean, I guess that doesn't happen with corporate mentality, but it would be nice. I'm not speaking because I know them personally, but it would be nice to see. For my part, I own 52 acres of forest right next to Forest Park. I have 10 acres of ancient timber, 400, 500 years old, and I'm not asking for anything. I'm not asking for $1 million an acre. I'm just a citizen doing my part, and I would ask the council to ensure that Walker DeSeltronic does a little bit more on their part, because this connection between the river and Forest Park through this corridor is a really big deal, and I hope that they will understand that even in greater detail. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Bob? Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Good afternoon, Bob Salinger, Conservation Director for Audubon. Sorry to be up here for the third time today. I'll be brief. I really appreciate the work that Council, Mayor Adams, and Siltronic have done. I think there's been a lot of good faith negotiations, and I appreciate also the time that Siltronic has taken to come out, or let me come out and tour the site twice, and also participating in the Eco-Roof Charrette. They were a huge help in that, and we had that Monday. So I'm impressed with the work that's been done to date and the progress that's been made. At the same time, I'm still concerned about what the city is getting in this agreement. Specifically, the value of the corridor from an ecological perspective is not very high. It may be high from a development perspective, but because it's so narrow, it will limit wildlife passage and also the ability to daylight the creek and so on. The end of the corridor right by the river is highly valuable, and that's a prize, so I give you that. But we would like to see more because the corridor is narrow, either a commitment to do the eco roof, a surefire commitment, not one that's just an aspiration, as well as vegetation along the 50-foot setback on the bank. And I think if the city could get those two things, we'd have a really good deal and one that we could be proud of. Otherwise, we still really have doubts. But again, I do want to appreciate the work that's gone on because it has been significant, and I feel like Siltronics has been very open with us and engaged.
Tom, do you want to speak to Commissioner Saltzman's concerns?
Yes, Tom Fahey, Director of Human Resources with Siltronic Corporation. One of our concerns about doing an eco roof, if it does not have the correct habitat value, is obviously the cost of that. We did participate in the Eco Roof Charrette, as Bob mentioned earlier this week, and the design for a very large structure like that, as the mayor has referenced, It's fairly unique. It's very hard to find industrial size buildings that have these kind of eco roofs. And for that matter, I would even refer to University of Portland and their new engineering building. It does have an eco roof, but it's on a very, very small portion of the roof of that building because of the cost associated with that, as they indicated to me when I visited there. So that is one reason, the cost, and that really relates to the other point that we have, which is we may not be the developer of this property. We're the owner of the property that we bought from the city for development in 1978, but we may lease the property and have someone else develop it. So it's very difficult for us to obligate a future unknown party to those kinds of additional costs.
Well, I appreciate what you're saying and appreciate your feedback about the charrettes and everything, but I guess it seems to me an eco roof with habitat value is, if I've got this right, more. I'm presuming it's more expensive and a heavier load. So what I was trying to say is if you can't do that for whatever reason, you know, how about just committing to do an eco roof, which is more conventional and lesser of a load, I guess. I mean, I respect your points about you may lease the property, but
right. Okay.
I mean, well, there's certain trade-offs here we're giving with, you know, respect to a 70-foot corridor on one side, which is getting narrow.
I understand. I did not attend the shred, so I'm not sure of the distinction between the two, an eco roof and one with habitat value. Mm-hmm. We're open to considering that. We've not ruled it out at this point, but the cost is something for such a large building that we would have to take a look at. We've also done sound measurements just as recently as 2 weeks ago, because buildings like this have a lot of equipment on the roof. So having an entire surface that's an eco roof probably is not practical, but certainly a portion of it is something we would consider.
So this is prairie country for deer and other vermin and varmints. And if you grew up near deer, you know that, and this is unique to your point, this sort of pasture, prairie, grassland is unique, and BES has educated me on sort of where this particular herd of deer travel across railroad tracks, highways,
parking lots
into foyers. You know, these are deer aggressive, and the potential win-win here, not to get too far into the thicket, but the potential habitat here is actually grassland, so for deer and other things. So the cost differential between other kinds of habitat and habitat that's geared towards deer might not be as big. Your point about, as we move into the DDA negotiations, of wanting that to be more sort of ironclad or more certain, I think that's heard and acknowledged.
Mayor, I would suggest that we get a copy of that speech on video, and you send it as in support of your application to be the new host of Wild Kingdom.
That was the most beautiful statement
of the natural landscape we've heard.
Thank you all for your testimony. All right. There's a reason that this has been 9 years in the making, and it is highly technical. We want to get it right, and it's been important to me since I've had it actively over the past 6 months, 7 months, that when we have either a threshold beyond a certain point of disagreement, or we lack a certain amount of agreement, that we continue to work at something, and also when decision makers, we just haven't sort of met the standard for fully informed decision making. So I would move that subsection K be added to the list in the substitute resolution as items that will come back to us in greater detail and will be informed by the other work on the list, and the last, therefore, be it resolved. That's my motion.
Is this second on UP?
No, this is, while you're out of the room, this I would add to the to-do list to come back to us for more discussion. So it's been moved and seconded. Additional discussion from City Council. Carla, would you please call the vote?
Fish?
Thank you, Mayor, for the clarification and for the clarity about how this issue would be resolved and how the proponents would prefer to have this issue resolved in the future. And I'm comfortable as long as it's in the mix for consideration and would come back to Council. Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
I greatly appreciate this amendment. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment approved. All right. Anything from staff? All right. Yes, Sally. I'm almost afraid.
No. So I believe, are you going to vote on the whole amendment package today?
Yes, on the substitute. So what's before us is the substitute, and that's it, right?
This amendment package with the amendments you've just made to it. Correct.
And the substitute resolution.
And the substitute.
We've already accepted the substitute. Thank you. So the amendment package. Would you please call the vote on...
I'm sorry, I'm not clear. What are we voting on?
The amendment package with the modifications that you have just made to that amendment package.
So the amendment package, okay.
So we have a clean ordinance and package to debate and vote on next week.
To move forward next week.
On the 15th.
Thank you.
The 15th.
Right, yeah. 2 weeks.
Oh, plus the salmon-colored amendment that we just gave to you